Alright, so gather around, guys. It's time for another Macross Speaker podcast. This is your sometime organizer, not particularly good host, Gwyn Campbell, otherwise known as Tokyo on the forums. And to Tokyo? My far. Tochiro? Apparently, I'm an 80s rock group, 90s? I'm Tokyo. Tochiro on the forums, and to my far left.
Richard, aka Goobaba.
Renato.
Aka.
Ren?
Never gets old, Renato, aka Renato. Okay, and on my right.
Adrian Lozano, aka Save.
Robotech.
And all the way from the far, far mystical land of Osaka.
Far West.
Howard, aka Variable Fighter.
Welcome back, Howard. It's been a while.
Yeah, it is. Always glad to come back.
What brings you up here?
It's been a while and I just wanted to visit. Had some free time.
All right, don't say you came here to do a podcast. But, look, there's been a bunch of stuff happening, a bunch of stuff that's gone down. So we're here today on 17th of March to
St.
talk
Patrick's
about it. St. Patrick's Day, hence the beers. But look, let's jump straight into it, guys, because
hey,
a lot's
Hunter,
happened.
Why did you leave me? I was grown up by the omnidirectional barrier, Mr. Hunter.
Was that supposed to be? Whatever.
It's a reference to an earlier joke, which I might explain later on. Hey, maybe when you explain your old bullshit story.
All right. So, Renato, since you're in a talkative mood, we need to mention that we met Kawamori himself not so long ago.
Oh, yeah, okay. Is that what we're starting with? Well, the thing is... I don't read the papers you give me. Okay. Well, the thing is... I was going to actually put up a blog post about
you were.
This.
I remember this.
And I just never got around to it.
So, unlike when I'm late with putting podcasts up, I don't give you shit when you're late putting event reports up. But anyway, tell us all about it.
So, Shoji Kawamori, creator of Macross, director of all everything that you've seen.
And AKB0048.
And yes. Arjuna.
And Aquarian. Yes, Rapist on the Aquarian.
And Kenji Noharu, yeah. Well. Anyway, he was over in Tokyo for a book signing. What book signing, you ask? He has a new book out called The Vision Creator's Worldview or something like that.
Worldview of a
Vision Creator.
Visionary Creator was how they translated it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he doesn't really go by the title of mecha designer anymore because he does so much more. He calls himself in katakana vision creator. So
yeah,
he's a visual creator.
So he has eyes,
and he makes stuff with them. The book is about his experiences in the past 30 or so years within the anime industry, both in work and out of work. When by which I mean,
he was a bum.
No. He used to go travel around the world and...
there's a word for that. It's
Pacific.
A bomb. Anyway, yeah.
No, they're broke. They say they can't... They're just out in the world. So anyway, he goes to all these Pacific islands and visits all these folk. And he wrote a book about all of his experiences.
Yeah.
And I found it quite intriguing because he goes into a lot of detail about things that we've never really heard about. Like, for example, the live-action Macross movie that they were going to make in 1995, 6.
Now, you can't drop some offhanded remark like that without going into a little bit more detail on what the book says about
it. I think I just did. Anyway, number two, Oshare Macross VD exhibit and signing. Win, tell us about that.
Keep going.
All right, well, anyway... The book is really, really interesting. I hadn't actually finished reading the whole thing. But yeah, I'll elaborate on that one point. The movie was going to be made with a company in California. And the company, he wrote the first draft of the script, and they wanted to make a few changes. And,
what year are we talking about here?
95, 96.
Okay.
Maybe 94 even.
I think it was 94 because it was supposed to be along with Plus and Seven.
That's true. But it went on for quite a while. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was going to improve. And eventually, around 96, it kind of just disappeared. He starts making references about the visual grammar of Japanese movies as opposed to Hollywood movies. Like, for example, if you watch the Tokusatsu thing, if you have like people henshin, right? When people become the heroes, they actually have a code, a visual code for them when they become the hero. And usually that's represented by the pattern of the henshin, right? They either scream a word and then they transform into the hero itself. Whereas you don't actually see that in a lot of Hollywood movies. So what happens is they represent it differently. They still do represent the henshin in Hollywood movies. He picks up the example of RoboCop. RoboCop becomes RoboCop not when they make this the cyborg suit or whatever it is.
Right.
But it's when he gets the keys to the car. When he puts the keys in the ignition and turns it and then drives the car off, that's the henshin scene in the Hollywood grammar. And that's because that's the way that American society is it's portrayed in these movies where, you know, if you're marketing a movie to an American audience, then you got to play to their set of values. And the set of values is because America is such a wild country that you have to have a car to get around, you know. The car is really the mecca.
Right.
So, what I found really interesting is that he was working out ways of trying to mix the Do Remember Love formula and fit it into this Hollywood framework.
More cars.
Yeah, the Valkyries will no longer be jet fighters. They'll be Transformers, robots in disguise. No, I mean, it's a really interesting thing, and the reason I haven't gotten around to finishing the article is because I would have to explain a lot of things about that book, and I would really probably want to actually finish writing it now. It was going to be just an article about, hey, Kamui's got a new book out, and we went to the signing, etc. But the book itself really should have a review.
So let's take a step back and return to the signing itself then.
Not before I mention, or you can cut this out if you want, that I
go
think
ahead.
That I think they stole the idea for the book from me and a friend of mine. For
Are you sure they stole from Richard's fanfic?
No. No. We went up to all these different publishers that we wanted to make a book about several anime creators. Kawamori was one of them, and Kawamori was the example that we chose for one of the Kikakusho, the project outlines.
Right. When did this happen?
We said this was about 2 years ago. We set out an outline, and then we said, and then towards the end, we're going to have interviews with other people talking about Kawamori, and that is the exact book that they made. So,
well, maybe that's why they said no. They already
you can cut this out if you want. This is a friend of mine.
I think we need to make a point as well before going on to the signing. Then that this is a book primarily about Kawamori's influences and thought process and like what he's thinking and why he's thinking it.
Yeah.
And as such, you're not going to get a bunch of line art of unreleased Valkyries or anything.
But we do have a few pages of line art with unreleased.
But it's not material. Like it's a very small section of the book.
It's mostly and this is text. Actually, Adrian, one of your parties over here. Actually, when we went to the signing, wasn't that day the evening we had a party here, right?
That was like the cosplay.
Yeah, so I tagged along for that, and there was a girl there. That she asked me, so you like anime or something? I don't even remember what. And I said, yeah, actually, we just came from a book signing from this guy called Shoji Kawamori. And he's like, well, what did he do? And I said, Macross. And she's like, what the hell's that? And I said, well, anyway, I'll just show you the book. Look. And the cover is full of AKB and all these tiny little screaming girls going in. And then you open the book And it's pictures of, you know, South America, Calcutta, and
rainforests, and
yeah, rainforests and stuff. And she was very surprised because the cover and the content mm-hmm. are like worlds apart. Mm. She said, "Oh, it's her actual expression was 真面目 no hon na no ni," which means like, "Oh, this is an actual real book." I thought it was going to be some anime thing.
Going by the cover.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe that's a warning. Maybe that's a recommendation. I think it's a really good book, all things considered.
Don't judge the book by its cover.
Please not.
Yeah. Because yeah. I only bought it to get the signature because I don't want really. I don't even want the book.
Well, let's talk about the signature. Where was the event at? Do you remember?
It was Shosei Tower.
Shosen.
Shosen?
Yeah.
Shosen Tower in Jimbocho, Tokyo.
It was literally a 2-minute walk from my office, so that's great.
Yeah.
One street. I came straight from work. I don't know. It was
about 6 weeks back?
It was about 2 months ago, maybe.
Right.
So, all right. So yeah, I had a meeting in the morning, and then I went there. But yeah. I also had a meeting in the afternoon, and yeah. I didn't know that we were going to queue up for so long, so I had to...
Yeah, well, this is the thing as well. As with all these events, it was based on if you bought the book or pre-ordered the book from that particular store. And the first, how many people? 100?
I think it was less than 100, but it looked about like maybe 80 to 90 people.
Right. Well, who got the book, then got a ticket to go back on this particular separate day yeah. to this signing. And unlike what they did at another event, which I'll get to next, you know, they've got numbers on the tickets. So you can normally get a good feel of how long you're going to have to wait. And we got there, it's like, wow, we had way longer to wait than I expected because it's just a signing. And when you go to a Mickey Mouse signing, all he does is sign. It's like you get through 10 people in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But we got there, we would have waited, what, 90 minutes?
That was 90 minutes before they took the half-hour break.
Yeah. Yeah, like what, 10... They just got to the halfway mark, like just before us, and they're like, all right, he's taking a half-hour break. He's
fine. Yeah.
Well, you guys... But you didn't have the books, though, right?
No, we... Well,
we right, I on, had on, my book already.
This is what happened. Okay. I didn't want to buy the book because I didn't really think I wanted his signature because we've gone to so many signings. Then I thought about it, but I haven't gone to a Mikimoto signing. I haven't gone to a Kawamori signing. When was the last time you did a signing?
Right.
Shit. I better buy a book.
But when you said we'd been to so many signings, you were talking about other people.
Yeah, other people. But I never realized so that like, were Kawamori. Yeah,
Kawamori is just another one of those guys doodling on a piece of paper. Yeah, so, I've had those.
Well, we've shook his hand before.
Yeah, we've seen him a lot.
We shook his hand and Adrian sang AKB
48 to him. Yeah, I talked to him about Machu Picchu and stuff like that.
We'll get to that. So,
This is what happened. I didn't really want the signature or the book, but
way to rub it in.
I don't mean it in that way. I did.
Don't worry, we're listening.
I just
we're still
didn't.
Fans.
I didn't
still
know.
Like you.
I was on a budget at the time, where I was actually figuring out how to budget my life. So I didn't think I should buy the book, but the books went on sale in the middle of the week, and Tochiro is working.
Oh yeah.
So he was in a predicament. And I said, well, I'll go and buy the book, get your signature. I mean, get the book signing ticket.
Ticket, yeah.
So I went down to the tower, got the ticket, almost walked out, and said, nah, I'm going to get the signature. Went back and I bought the second ticket for myself. But we got like number 64 and 65, and you called in to get your ticket because you said you didn't have to go in to buy the ticket.
Yeah, you didn't have to go. So I just did it through the phone. And the guy who answered said, so what's your name? And I said, Renato Rivera. And he said, so what's the kanji for that? And I'm like, there's no kanji. I said, there's no kanji? What? I'm not Japanese. My name isn't Japanese. Why would you think there's a kanji?
Anyway.
So,
anyway.
Yeah. So we got our tickets. And then when the event came, that same day we were supposed to have this nabe party for a bunch of cosplayers here at the apartment. So we had to be back here around, what, 5?
By a certain time, early mid-afternoon.
So we had to be here at a certain time, and we figured, well, we'll be in there, he'll sign, we'll be through in about 30-40 minutes.
And we'll be gone.
Yeah. But we didn't know he was actually sketching the Valky wanted on each book.
Yeah. So that was the big thing that threw us off. Something I didn't learn my lesson from, as I'll get to later. But so anyway, we eventually got to the front of the line and we're worrying about what Valks we wanted done. And the thing is, people were showing us their books while we were waiting in line. And so one guy got a Fire Valk and someone else got a VF4. But as time went on, you could tell Karamori's getting more and more tired because the Valkyries gradually lost their shape and became these kind of blobs of one line that went from wingtip around the nose cone and back out.
Because your Valk is missing a wing.
Yeah. It's like it went off the edge of the book, really. You know?
I didn't see that one.
It's kind of it's plane-like. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we go up to him. And I got a 1S. What did you guys get?
I got a Fire Valkyrie. Because he writes a message as well. I think if you do something from the original Macross, he writes the culture.
Right.
But if I... The one I got said, listen to my song.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, mine said the culture, now that you mention it.
Mm-hmm.
What did yours say, Adrian?
Didn't say listen to my song.
Here it is. Hang on, we're opening it up.
Oh, there it is. It says, watch Jet Jockey in action. What's that a reference to?
Okay.
Oboite masu ka?
Right. Okay.
Do you remember?
Yeah,
it's not even do you remember love. It's just do you remember?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it just says do you
remember. What Valkyrie is that? I can't tell. VF1S?
Looks like a 1S. I wanted her to draw like Dangayo, but I don't think it was in the book.
Somebody asked for a gunhead.
Someone asked for gunhead. It was huge. It took up the whole page. It was great.
Oh, did you see it? I didn't see it.
But yeah, so we met him, and that's, you know, I was getting pretty nervous by the time I got the head of the queue. And I just, I got to think back now.
Holy floating head.
I just, you know, said to him, yeah, I was a fan since a kid, since I was young, and yeah, I was a big Macross fan, and that, you know, while I knew nothing had been announced yet, I was really looking forward to whatever Macross he makes next. Cough, cough, hint, hint.
Yeah. Then he asked if you're American, and then you slapped him.
But what did you say to him again?
I didn't get time to say anything, because a friend of ours basically that knows him basically said, oh, this is so-and-so who does such and such with so-and-so and friends with so-and-so. And he's like, oh, yeah, okay. Right. Like, yeah, that's me. I didn't get to really say much to him. People were talking for me.
Fair enough. Well, then we got up to Renato, and the great thing was I think I managed to walk all the way down to the bottom floor of the shop, get a drink, and come all the way back up, and Renato was still talking to Kawamori. What on earth were you saying to the man?
Well, I was halfway through reading the book at the time. So a chapter in the book really captured my attention. It was about... let's see if I can remember now, actually.
You want the book? It's here.
Yeah, but I'm not going to flick through it. It was about... actually, he mentions this a lot. Like, how he had all these ideas, but no one wanted to go along with it because this is the way it's done. So, when you think about Kawamori as an individual, it's usually not what you would expect a typical Japanese person. I guess a lot of people in the creative industries are like that, maybe, though. Right. They try to shake things up a little bit.
They're different.
Yeah, so... He's quite convinced. He has a lot of conviction in what he believes in, and maybe he doesn't know exactly what he wants to do, but he knows what he doesn't want to do. Mm. And he's always constantly trying to break from the patterns of like normalcy or whatever. So there are a few paragraphs in there where he's trying to convince. He's retelling how in the past he was trying to convince the people around him that this is the way to do it. And I said, I think my question was, that so how do you manage to convince people that you're right? And do you ever think, hey, maybe these guys who are all older than me are right? Because I think I'm kind of at the stage of my life where I am kind of in that position, you know. But I do waver, you know, I do think maybe sometimes I'm not correct. Maybe I should listen to what people say that have more experience than me.
Listen to other people's song.
Yes.
Okay.
And he said, and he didn't have time to answer. He said something like, well, you know, you just believe in yourself. And he gave me some, you know, typical answer. Typical PBS answer.
You can do it.
Yeah, that's it. Akidame. Yeah, don't stop. Don't give up.
Well, that's kind of quite the anticlimactic.
No, but what do you... But like you said, when you had you answering the question of what it is you want him to draw, right. And then you saying, hey, thank you, I've been a fan from whatever, and then the question, he really has no time to answer.
Right.
So I was just glad that he actually listened.
The other difference in this signing session was whether it's a Tengen signing or the... what was the other signings we went to?
Miyatake, yeah.
Usually,
Usually
you go up and one person gets the book and then they give it to him. This one, he was surrounded by like five people.
He had handlers.
Yeah, so it felt like kind of like, I better keep my distance. Yeah. I better do this.
Well, we are in the middle of a Kawamori boom, really, as such, what with the success of he's had from Frontier through to AKB.
Yeah, so it was definitely a slight different setting.
Okay. So. All right.
It was very different because there was no space to even stand.
Yeah. Oh, and the bookshop was tiny.
That store is
old school.
Yeah, it's how many floors has it got? Five, six?
It was four floors.
Right,
but it was like really. It was a very vertically planned store.
Oh, exactly. It's an old building too.
Yeah, so. That's what. Oh, right, well, look, I'll move on here to an event. Another signing I went to, although I was the only one who went there, to the latest Oshare Macross exhibit at Marui One.
No, read the whole name.
Wait a minute. I'm not there. And I've put a post up about this on the forums. But yeah, it was called Oshare Macross VD exhibit.
Venereal disease exhibit.
By the way, Oshare means stylish.
Stylish VDs.
Yes.
And VD like was supposed to mean, as anyone who looked at the actual title of the event at the venue and the sign and the logo, it meant Valentine's Day.
Well, that's the most romantic time.
So, yeah, and they had Rancor and Cheryl with a heart, you know. But, you know, they've done these things before. And what they always do is they have a retail space on the first floor, which has some fashion collaborations, a whole bunch of merch, normally confectionery, like open Ranker cakes and macarons.
And some edible fashion as well. Didn't they have the underwear?
I don't think it's edible.
It's not edible?
Well, if you're hungry enough, that chili sauce.
Are you feeling okay? Are you your stomach?
So they have that, and they also have a few items that are unique to that venue, like some piece of key art or art by Ebata or someone, which they'll put on an iPad case, on a clear folder, you know, and those will be the things that sell out. And as these things work, and then up on the fourth floor, they have this tiny, tiny exhibit space, which is like the size of a kitchen, the size of the kitchen maybe. And they have three small walls worth of art. And in this case, it was for Macross 30. And so the person signing was Maru Fuji. I've forgotten his first name. Where are we? Hirotaka Maru Fuji, who previously did a signing there where he did Cheryl pictures. And it was a complete farce because normally you're not allowed to stay overnight when lining up for these things. But the last one he did, they allowed people to line up overnight. And they put a sample of this Cheryl picture up on the website. And what a lot of people didn't realize, unlike at most events, they didn't print 100 of these off. He was drawing Cheryl for every single person. In proper, a couple of colors as well. And so apparently every single person took 10 minutes to get through minimum. He was going for hours. Like, he took the entire day. And people found out about this, and someone tweeted it, who's not someone I'm even aware of in the Macross fandom here. And it spread like wildfire, and by 5 a.m., there was like 100, 120 people there. It was only the first 50, I think. No.
Just the fact that Cheryl would attract, you know, outside of the Macross fandom anyway.
That's true.
So, explain who he is.
All right, so with Macross 30, he was one of the key animation artists?
He was the
animation key... Well, for Frontier as well.
For Frontier, he was the main key animator.
Right.
So
he was interviewed when... Yeah, I remember there was an interview with him, I think, on one of the PSP games. You know, you get extra discs.
Right, the ones that are region locked.
They were coming up... To, well, Well, not if you don't. Well, they were coming up to him and they said, so which part is most difficult to draw about Ranka? And she says, the boobs. The boobs are the most difficult part because I don't know the size. You have to guess the curvature of the...
Well, he's credited as chief animation director on Frontier. So as I've heard it explained to me, he basically can draw Cheryl, drew Cheryl a lot more than Ebata did because Ebata did the designs.
Well, of course.
And then, you know, he was the one doing all the keyframe stuff.
Yeah. Traditionally, I think character designers also work as key animators.
But Ebata's different.
But Ebata's not. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, and also, I found this out when I spoke with him, he did the character redesigns for all the pachinko footage, which has been floating around. Okay. So,
that's why they
he was the one who did, you know, Shammy and the Captain's Hat.
Okay.
And, you know, all that stuff. So he'd gotten used to drawing some of the more classic Macross characters in that. And then he became character designer for Macross 30. So he designed Leon, Aisha, Mina. and most of the redesigns for Minmay, Milan, etc.
So most of those Gengar reproductions that you get with the Macross 30 limited edition
are mostly his work.
Are all his.
Yeah. So now this was another one of those occasions where it was the first, I think it was 100 people who spent 3,000 yen or more on the day the exhibit opened, then got a ticket to come back a week or two later to this event. And the great thing about it, these tickets, unlike in the past, it would say, you are number 42. But for every 10 people, it gave you a different time to turn up to try to avoid what we went through with Kawamori.
Right.
So my start time was an hour and a half later than people I know who'd been lining up a long time earlier than me. So I got my ticket and then came back on the day. I got there about 10 minutes before my time period. And I was number 42. I was like, all right, so are they up to 40 yet? But here's around number 17.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait. This time they've printed off a board for every, like, it's a pre-prepared board he drew, but it's printed off. He's just signing it. It's like, yeah, and he's also taking requests. We're sorry.
Requests as in
to add a character to the three.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, because the board they gave out was the three main characters. There it is there. And he would add one up in the corner, like a face.
Oh, so you would say, I want Lin Min Mei with them, or I want Basara with them.
Exactly. And if it wasn't someone he did for Macross 30, who we might have forgotten a bit, if you could just pulled up a picture on your iPhone, he would draw. Someone requested Young Max, and he hadn't done Young Max, because Young Max isn't in Macross 30. So, and he did a really great Young Max.
Could you just have, like, Sylvie Gina or someone?
Well,
like,
actually, according to...
Or like Astro Boy, what the hell?
You could have. You could have.
Because at that time, you didn't know who were the finalized characters in Macross 30 either. But you asked him a question that pretty much finalized that Macross 2 wasn't in it.
Ishtar?
I asked him if he'd ever drawn
Ishtar.
Yeah. He said no.
So at that point, you know, she's in the game.
At that point, you just go home, turn around, and say, screw this. Bang your game.
But, you know, someone, like, people ask him for some weird stuff. Like, someone asked for the young Cheryl. The child show. Yeah, and someone else, I think, got a Gubaba. So, yeah, he drew Richard.
Okay.
But so either way, I got there and ended up waiting like two and a half hours. And it was, you know, just forever. But I got to talk to a lot of the fans, especially some of the female Frontier fans who were there. Like, there was one who had made a custom diary / personal organizer with different screen caps with Alto in them for every other day of the month and quotes. And she had an Alto badge and she had like a ribbon in her hair.
How old was she?
I would say early 40s.
Okay, right.
But yeah, it was interesting. I got to talk to some people. The parents of the child you saw at the Mickey Mortal signing with the Deculture.
He's now eternally the Deculture baby.
Yeah, like the whole thing is they're raising him as the Macross baby.
Poor guy, man.
And they always.
I thought it was cute at first. Now I am thinking.
But the thing is, she claims that I talked to the mother, and she claims he brings them luck because she brought him the baby to this event as well, to the signing, right?
Yeah.
Because they wanted she got a ticket for the baby. One of the people.
Oh, they didn't ask Murphy to sign the baby's forehead or something sick like that. Right?
No, they got like something drawn for the baby, but he was really happy. They have a picture with him pictures were not allowed, but you take a baby and, you know, people wave the break the rules for you.
I'll take a dog next time.
But she also said the baby brings her luck. And as luck would have it, at this particular department store, if you have the department store's credit card, branded credit card, there's a separate draw with these Macross events. And so as long as you use a credit card, when you spend that 3,000 yen to get the ticket, you also go into the draw. And she was at the signing with this big box under her arm of one of the Ichiban Kuji Sherrills.
Oh,
really
right.
Expensive Sherrills. Okay. Yeah, and I was like, well, what the? And the guy behind is like, it's the damn baby. It's the damn baby.
What is this kid going to grow into?
I know, right? But anyway, so I waited for ages. And for me, it was either going to be Minmay or Sharon Apple. Sharon Apple because she appeared as, you know, one of the major villains in the game in all the promotional materials. Or Minmay because she's got the spotlight in that commercial they brought out for the game, you know, where she's like, was it Mirai no Michi or Hirikiraite or something? She's like, yeah, open your... cut your way through the future with your song. That's kind of become the key word to the point that if you mention Minmay to anyone at this event, they're all like, oh yeah, she's got that new phrase. And like, everyone knew it already. And the game wasn't out at this point.
Yeah.
I spoke with him and he talked to me about the pachinko games a bit. I also asked him if his artwork had been used in the mobile game that's on smartphones because it's got some really nice Minmay art in there.
Mm.
He didn't remember. He like turned to a handler like, did they use my art in those? She's like, I don't know. he was a really nice guy, really approachable, really talkative. And what struck me was like similar to when we met Tenjin. He just seemed indicative of this slightly younger creative set, which is coming into Macross, who know their stuff. A lot of them seem to have been fans before they got involved or were fans to some capacity and are looking to put back into it. And I think that's great. You know, seeing his take on Minmay is the best non-Mickey Mortal version I've seen of Minmay, in my opinion.
Probably,
It doesn't look too modern, but it looks updated, if that makes any sense, yeah. But anyways. Yeah.
So, who did you choose?
I chose Minmay.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, I chose Minmay. I chose the actual scene they show in the commercial.
Not Marsh, then.
With her. I think the baby got Marsh. I asked for the scene from the game where she's holding the microphone. And it was only, you know, in Magic Marker, in a single color Magic Marker. Yeah. But he did the outline in pencil first.
Right.
Then went over. So that's why every person took, between 5-10 minutes, which is why he's up to 18 and not 41.
Where is it? Do you have it here? Been.
Yeah, it's...
We'll put it in for the photo later.
All right, we'll pull it out later. But anyway, so that was Motofuji, and I'm looking forward to seeing his work in the future because I like his character designs in Macross 30, which we'll get to later. Yeah.
Funny you should mention that about Minmay having a catchphrase because actually she's one of the few characters that doesn't have one.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Most other ones...
She does
actually have one.
She does. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2.
Well,
three,
the one
four.
That I would have said would be.
A
like,
1, 2! Oh,
Jesus! The one that I would have said was where she says, is it my. My kaminoke ga mechakucha.
Which is.
Okay. Which is more important, your hair or your life?
Yeah.
My hair, of course.
Yeah, but then you need the Hikaru to play also, right?
Right, yeah.
Right, yeah.
But everyone else seems to have, you know, you got Listen to My Song, you got...
Listen to My Song.
Koko ni kuru to omoidasu. Mada yume bakari mite ita koro wo. Hoshi kara ta nabiku kaze ga boku wo kino e to sarate ku hade na buru no sora egao wo utsusu kimi futari de egaita sennen seki no mirai mada wasureta wake janai nda ze ano toki no yakusoku wo onaji tsuyosa de onaji スピードで夢の途中 Remember 16.
All right, let's move on then. Adrian, I want to pull you on board here for a bit because we went to see a concert recently. It was that time of year again for Chie Kajiura's Milen Night.
Yes. Milen Night.
Number 3. And there's a review which will be up on the boards before this podcast goes up because it's pretty much completed. But so she does these concerts, for those who don't know, every year. They're small, as a general rule. They're about 250 people or so. And she does them on Milen's birthday. So to date, every single one of them has been during the week because February 2nd. This was the first year that February 2nd, since she started doing it, had occurred on a weekend. And she was really happy about this. Not that she didn't feel... We'll get to that. Yeah. Not that she didn't fill up the venue, you know, one way or the other. But in past events, she's always said that she wants to add something new each time, give it a different spin. So the first time she did it, it was her and Sakurai Tomo, Milen's voice actress.
Yeah.
And, you know, Chie did Milen songs, Sakurai did Minmay covers. And they did a couple of duets. It was poppy. They had a Valk drawn by Tenjin for the event. They had a Milen picture drawn by Mickey Mortal for the event. Then the second one, it was Fukuyama on stage with her, but for a part of it.
One of them had a Tenjin.
That was the first one.
That was the first one. Okay. The second one was Fukuyama, so it was more rocky. The arrangements of the music, and she does arrange the songs, which makes it great, were more rock in nature. And she had those things you loved, Renato, the little video documentaries that came up with who was in it. It was Aya Endo and Chie and Sakurai Tomo in a room talking about
nothing,
bad stuff. It was fun. This time around was something different. No video documentaries, no special artwork, but because it was really still the 30th anniversary, it was Chia's take on the 30th anniversary. It was all Macross covers, including some of her 7 stuff, but covers with a bit of an emphasis on, of all things, Macross Plus.
Now, this is because there's the Macross Plus Blu-ray coming out.
Right.
And she had an opening act, so to speak. So it looked like Bandai, what's the Bandai music label?
Flying Dog.
Is it Flying Dog? Yeah. Looks like they sent a DJ to open the show. So this guy comes.
Do you know his name?
I know.
No, off the top of my head, no.
Really?
Okay. So basically, there's all like the drums, you know, drum sets on stage, everyone's guitars, and then off to the side, there's a laptop. And guy comes out, he starts throwing down, like, I don't know, what'd you say? It's like Skrillex. Trance and
dubstep.
Basically, kind of music, right? It was dubstep, yeah.
Yeah, and it was kind of, it was very light dubstep, but you would hear like little hints of Sharon Apple.
Yeah.
Coming in and out. And the funny thing was because, I mean, there's a couple of youngsters at the Chie gigs, but they're mostly the older fans. And they look like they didn't know what the hell they were
doing. Because I think we should throw this out here. The dubstep boom that happened in the West never really happened here.
Yeah.
Because it was in everything.
Because it was just like a pure raw remix of this guy's stuff. And there'd be a little bit, he'd throw it in. So it really looked like people were like, What do I do?
Yeah.
So I'm like, dude, come on, raise your hands, dude. Like, get into this, do something. And it wasn't until he actually went into a mix of what was this, the plus song?
Which was it? Wanna Be an Angel? Or?
No, that's too slow to be a dubstep.
But he put a whole bunch into the dub. Because
no, he only played one actual full song, but I think it was.
But those snippets.
Yeah, samples.
I'm not sure if
none of them were. I want to be.
Yeah, the thing is, but like it was just having that dubstep in there was like, you know, if it was voices, which it wasn't, it was like he does, and like everyone's pants were like vibrating, like because like you could feel it in your bones. They had a pretty good audio setup.
Yeah, that's as if you actually had a clubbing life in your past, which yeah. I did, but. He eventually goes into a full Sharon Apple song, and that's when everyone goes, oh, I'll just act like the animation.
They all had three frames to that. Yeah.
So they got finally the crowd got into it at that point, and there's a lot of, bunch of cheering and stuff. And then when the guy finished, he basically said, Blu-ray box set's coming out, buy it.
So again, they make that link between buying stuff and supporting it, so. Like as it always is over here, strong, really strong. But look, let's take a step back. Because Renato, you were saying you didn't manage to get a ticket. Did you try or?
I think I just forgot about it.
Dramatic storytelling at its finest.
I kind of forgot about it too, actually. Yeah.
No, but I was doing something on that day as well. I don't remember what.
Well, there's a...
What day was this?
It was a Saturday?
Okay. Saturday, February 2nd.
There was a bit of a backstory to the tickets in that they went on sale way earlier than past Millennium Gigs.
Yeah, that's probably why.
And then they had that thing on Animax Musics, the little Macross Live thing. Yeah. And at the end of it, they Macross put up Mike. An advertisement for it. So when the Firebomber gig rolled around in November... You get to the point where everyone's like, you know, Fukuyama's like, you know, if he's bringing out an album, please want my album. Chia's always like, please come to my next gig. Yeah. Chia gets up and she's like, I'd like to ask you to come to my next gig, but we're sold out already. Thanks. If you didn't get a ticket, tough luck. So that was just bizarre. And it was quite hard to get in. But this time she had two types of tickets.
The ticket was quite nice, the one you showed me.
Well, she had regular tickets and then there was 16 people. 16 special tickets, as they called them. Mm-hmm. Now, this is not to say that you didn't pay extra for them. They were literally twice the price of a normal ticket. But right. There were only 16 of them. And more than 16 people applied, so I went to a draw. And I got both Save Here and myself tickets out of the draw.
Very good.
I also bugged the people holding the draw. I don't know if that influenced them, but I bugged them a lot. What this got us basically was we got to go to rehearsal. Not the whole rehearsal, but a chunk of the rehearsal.
Okay.
We got initially like a special ticket. Like the ticket was literally special. It was all handmade by Chia,
right?
With a handwritten note in it. Yeah, and a Goobaba sticker. She must have extras of those from all the. You know, she sells them at every gig.
She
now.
Does weird tickets all the time.
Yeah,
anyway.
Torn paper.
Her last birthday one. Yeah, it was like the butcher paper with like a sticker put on it, showing a map of how to get to the club.
Well, and then we also got you get a picture with her. And this was taken on a little Polaroid thing that they do on it's their Polaroid camera.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when the actual concert itself starts, because you come out after rehearsal, you're at the front of the line automatically. So you get front row.
And they were asking us, please don't tweet anything that you hear us playing.
Because in rehearsal, we're in the front row and you can just see the set list taped to the stage. Oh, like, ha-ha. So we had an idea we're in for something special. But so we went to rehearsal. We got about three full songs.
Yeah, she just did three or four songs just doing warm-ups. One or two, she actually did the full song. The rest were just half songs just for testing. And then they did the photo op with the Polaroid camera. And those kind of suck because you don't know what the picture's going to look like until after it develops.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a one-off shot, so...
You couldn't really get a retake.
Yeah, so... When we went through there, and we were like the fourth group to get a picture, I think.
Yeah. And people were bringing her gifts. I've got to mention this.
Yeah.
Even though it was Milene's birthday, not Chia's, but people have like cards with Goobubbers cut out of them and stuff. It was kind of cool.
Yeah. And we were the only non-Japanese there.
Yeah.
And we go, you went, you got your picture taken.
Yep.
And then I go up and they tell you what you have to write down what your name is and all this stuff, so they call you up. I go up there. I'm like, hi, nice to meet you. Take a picture. Do a little, peace sign, all that. Get my picture developed, and this is what it looks like.
She's trying to get away from him as quickly as possible.
She's literally looking like, this guy's scary.
Yeah, no. Adrian looks really happy, and Chie just looks a little... nervous.
Well, she's looking off to the side. She's not even looking at the camera.
Yeah, exactly.
She's looking at the security guards like, who let this guy in?
She's like, there's a what behind me? Don't know him. Don't know him.
It's like if somebody's telling her, don't turn around. Don't turn around.
But, yeah. So, we got, Alan's gone. We got pictures taken with her. We went out and we came back in for the actual concert, and I've got to say, damn, this concert She stole the Macross cover queen title, if such a thing existed, from Megumi. She bitch slapped Megumi down with this concert. Because, you know, Megumi in the past has always been, you know, she did, do you remember Love in Frontier, of course. But in concerts, she's also done, like, Angel Paints.
Well, she did that as a B-side for one of her singles, yeah.
And she's done, you know, a couple of duets with Mari in like, the last crossover and whatnot. But, and she has played with stuff before. Like, I think in Milan Night 2, Renato, she did...
Yeah, do you remember Diamond
Love?
Crevasse.
Yeah, Diamond Crevasse and Do You Remember Love? Do You Remember Love was amazing.
Fantastic, yeah.
And it was no less amazing this time around. We
was
got
it the same arrangement?
It was a little bit different, a little bit jazzier.
Okay.
Because
the last time it was based on the Tomo Sakurai Milan right. Sings Minmei right. version. Well, but it was a bit heavier.
I'll go through some of the highlights here. I won't go through the entire set list, but we got Jiku o Koete, a friend's Jiku o Koete, which was the fifth. It was but it was her arrangement of it. It was actually kind of good. We got Do Remember Love. We got My Boyfriend's a Pilot. This is the thing. We got My Boyfriend's a Pilot and Ninjin Loves You, yeah.
What was the arrangement for right. those?
That's those intriguing. Were amazing because, okay, her guitarist and her bassist put the instruments down.
Yeah.
Came and sat next to her. They pulled out stools. She had an iPad. They had iPhones. They had synthesizer software. They played it on their iPads.
That's cool.
So it was like, for Ninjin Loves You at work, because they were like, beep, 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 beep. It yeah. was like playing a Casio, basically.
Yeah, that what about, was pretty badass.
What about My Boyfriend's a Pilot?
They did the same thing dang. For My Boyfriend's a Pilot. I'll say something like that and something move on.
Okay.
So, and moving on, we got like Idol Talk from Macross. Well, from Macross Plus, we got Idol Talk, we got Borderline.
Can you feel my juice? Oh, wait.
Apart from the initial dubstep, yeah, we got Idol Talk and Borderline. And we're from Frontier, we got Imo, we got Diamond Crevasse. She did a solo version of Burning Fire. Of course.
She did?
Yeah, there was no Fukuyama there.
I'm looking at the list here and I thought Fukuyama was in there.
No.
But
it was
she
just her
sang
version. Well, actually, she had her guitarist come and help with it. So it was another male vocalist in there.
Oh, I see, okay.
But the big thing was she walked off and came back on for an encore with no one, just her. She just picked up the mic.
Acapella?
And did, yeah, acapella voices.
That's cool.
Which blew everyone's mind. Also, she did Ima in there as well, which is pretty good. So she covered, and these were all kind of typical cheer, slightly lower... slightly slower tempo, jazzier remixes. This is the kind of thing where, once again, after the concert, I was like, album, wow. This needs to be a 30th anniversary project.
It was like a tease, you know? These are all the things I can do.
Yeah.
But,
a cappella voices is always a showstopper. I mean, at the...
And with her Kano, range? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When Megumi sang it, that was one of the highlights
and
of that.
At that time, I was like, yeah, Megumi's is definitely... I mean, the original still is the best, but Megumi's is close, and... Because Cheer's version has so much more originality to it, I was like, sorry, Megumi.
Man.
But, Adrian, any thoughts on the set list?
No, set list was really cool. I mean, because we went early for the, what was it, like the preview session.
Right.
We actually got to hear that she had Macross Plus songs going, because they were doing the sound check for those before they let us in.
Right.
So we already kind of like, oh, shit, she's doing Plus songs. During the rehearsal, she didn't do any Plus songs. So that was really cool. But then, because we got in early,
right.
We were in the front row, and our Macross friends, the Japanese crew, they said, yeah, we really liked the show, but we couldn't see anything because Adrian was in the way.
I was in the very front row, and it was great because I got to see it, but honestly, next time if given the choice, I'd go center a few rows back because I had the electric guitarist right in front of me. And he drowned out Cheer's voice a bit at times. And I've heard that wasn't a problem close to the middle. But yeah, I don't know what she's going to do next year. I can't even imagine. Nene, doko kara atashitachi wa orite kita no eien no nemuri wo motte kono uchu e Shinjitsu no nezo wa shinpi no kiyoku no naka kakurete veru ni kieta. Howard,
time.
You're here for a reason. We're going to make you talk. You were the only person among us.
You're going to torture him or something. We have ways of making you talk, Howard.
You're the only one among us who saw the Valkyrie down in Osaka.
Oh, well, as far as Macross Worlders, I believe Sketchly has also seen it.
Right.
And Hebime has also seen it, as far as I know.
Okay. So, how was it? Tell us.
Well, I've been to the Tokyo one, and it was mostly the same, but there were a couple small changes that they made.
Okay.
This time, instead of a regular department store type building, they held it at an actual amusement park.
Was it indoor or outdoor?
Well, parts of it were outdoor, most of it was indoor.
Wow, it must have been a bigger Valkyrie than it was when we saw it.
Well, unfortunately, they originally promised that Osaka would have the legs attached to the VF1 Messiah. That's what we were all hoping for. Unfortunately, they didn't have it this time around. The venue actually looked like it was large enough to have a Gerwalk indoors with legs.
Right.
But for whatever reason, they chose not to.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's... I've heard technical difficulties, but... it's a shame, because they were supposed to have the legs on it. That was the whole point. I was originally going to go down myself, but it wasn't to be.
However, a small change they made was before, when you would just be limited to going on to the outstretched hand to take a picture,
right.
Now they had this scaffolding built up to where you can climb up and look into the cockpit.
Okay.
So there was a lot more detail that was previously... unable to be viewed that was available. Like, one of the details, I'm not sure if it was there before or not, was there's a little Cheryl's earring attached to the top of the cockpit, just like in the anime.
Didn't notice that.
I think, yeah, something right there.
Also, wow. That there's a Kawamori signature on the side. You could get closer to the cockpit and see that.
Okay, well, that could have been... You can only really see the cockpit from a distance, so...
And also, outside, they had the 100th scale Kronos poster.
Yeah, well, they promised that they were going to have a 1-to-1 scale Kronos. And that was the end of the sentence. But it was actually a 2-dimensional representation.
Yeah. Well, that was the same as when the Frontier movies came out and they had the 29 sticker on the floor at the at Ikebukuro.
We
have a 1-to-1 29, and it was a sticker.
Yeah.
A giant sticker. But so was there anything around the back, like, apart from the Kronos picture? Because I know in Tokyo there was timelines
Tokyo, you had to go through just about the entire exhibit before you got to the Valkyrie.
Right.
Well, actually, not Valkyrie, Messiah. Here, after the initial timeline, it was right there. And then after you pass the Messiah, then you go on to the merch and the other displays.
Okay. I'm not sure if I like that order as much, though. I mean, what did you think? Because I know in Tokyo, it built you up having to walk through everything first.
No, because some people just walk, through straight.
Like Kai, yeah. But,
I thought it worked fine.
Okay.
Also, another thing that they had outside was the SDF-1 Macross 1-1 scale.
What? 1-to-1 scale?
It's like hanging, right?
Yeah.
Augmented reality.
Yeah, you had to download this app from a website and then use your smartphone camera, look up into the sky, and it would superimpose a SDF-1 Macross over wherever you're looking at. And it would move... just like it was just floating there.
Yeah. So did you take a picture? Did you download the app?
Yeah, Hebime went with me, and he downloaded the app and looked around. And another thing was a little scavenger hunt. You had to find a SMS symbol.
Right.
And when you take a picture of that and use the app, next time you go up and look, it'll be the Macross quarter.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. I did download the app just to see... what it had in it, and it was utterly useless if you're living in Tokyo.
Right. It had to use your location.
Yeah. Right.
And because it only projected it directly above Hirataka Park.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So apart from the 1-to-1 Val, how's the Macross lifestyle down in Osaka? Has anything else been going on?
Yeah. One of the really big things that has actually been around for a while is the Fire Bomb Bar.
Right. Now, I remember we got given flyers for that when I came down to see the second Firebomber gig.
Yeah.
Back in November.
And at the time, we just thought it was like a one-off event or something. But it turns out he had opened back November of last year.
Okay. So he opened around the time of the concert.
Yeah.
So what is the Firebomb Bar?
Well, it's a little small bar that would seat probably around 10 people max.
Right.
That's located within walking distance of the Mandarake in Umeda.
Okay.
So it's really small, hard to find. There's no big sign in front of it. But when you get up to the door, it has a whole bunch of Macross 7 memorabilia and just a handwritten sign that says Firebomb Bar.
Huh.
And then when you go inside, you get greeted by everybody. Everybody pretty much knows you have the same thing in common.
Mm-hmm.
And all around the walls, you got Macross 7 laser discs, Macross 7 toys. And
everybody knows your name.
And even a Macross 2 CD that somebody put up there.
Hey, Save, I didn't know you went there.
I have never been there. Not yet.
It was placed by what he calls the number one Macross 2 fan.
The number one Japanese Macross 2 fan.
So I told him about you, and he says the two of you got to meet.
Oh, I'm down for that.
Worlds collide.
Right. That's right. I'll be Norm, he could be Cliff.
And the guy that formed the bar, that's his general philosophy, is you're there to meet people.
Right.
That Macross is much more social than other mecha shows or anime in general.
I think it is, yeah.
Because you got a lot of, say, Gundam fans. They'll just stay on the boards and discuss technical terms with each other, how much armor protection the commander-type GM has over the standard model.
Man, Zeke's and Fetties don't mix. Everyone knows.
Whereas Macross... Again, here, even though it's called Macross, it's Bomb Bar, 7-oriented, you had a Macross 2 fan going in there and just having the time of his life.
Where else are we going to go?
To the Lovers Again Bar.
Well, that's something you could make.
Oh, yeah. I know. I'm going to open a bar and call it the Mosh Pit.
Or the Ish Bar.
The Ish Bar. Oh!
Okay, how about I'll open the Ish Bar in...
Was it? Oh, I can't remember the name of the place.
Osaka?
No, in
Tokyo. Akihabara.
Kabukicho.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Kabukicho opened the, what do you call it? The Ish Bar. The Ish Bar, and then in Nichome, I'll put the Mosh Pit.
Yes. With special guest Bobby.
So, even if you're not a Macross fan, if you're an anime fan, I highly recommend you go there.
Yeah, no, I hope to check it out back when the Valk was on display, but yeah, didn't make it down.
Well, when they said that the Valk was going to be on display, right?
Yeah.
Well, we all planned to go there, and then once it lost its legs
No,
screw it.
I found out about the Firebomb Bar the week after I was in Kansai. I was in there for 2 days for work.
When was it?
And I could have gone. In November. No, or beginning of December. Yeah, December.
Right, well, I mean, I heard about it in November, but I was...
I didn't hear about it in November. I heard about it literally just as I came back to Tokyo. And I'm like, wow, I was right there! So Umeda, right?
Yeah.
I'll check it out, yeah.
So is it
definitely
inside that Shotengai area?
Oh, no, it's outside where all the bars and things are.
Ah, so it's like
it's off to
up
the side streets.
Ah, okay.
Well, it starts getting a little seedy. Area, that whole Umeda and Shinsaibashi area is that those, you know... Those bars go out of business pretty quickly, so we better get there. You know, I hope that it stays around for a long time, but we better get there
as
soon as
I'm glad that he's had enough business to stay around for this long.
For this long meaning 4 months, right?
Yeah. So anybody listening to this podcast, if you're in Osaka, give us a ring and we'll show you where it is.
Cool. So I think you mentioned something else you wanted to discuss briefly.
Oh yeah, another event that I was here for earlier this year, the Winter Comiket.
Which I didn't make it to, unfortunately.
Hmm. Yeah, the Winter Comiket, the main reason I go is for the Macross Dojin.
You want to explain for those who may...
Now, would that be BL Dojin,
well,
normal
first,
hentai
dojin,
research dojin? What kind of dojin are we speaking?
Well, let's discuss what dojin is very briefly.
Okay. First, well, Dojin is pretty much a fan book.
Okay.
It's a very limited publication item made by a small number of people or just one person about something they like.
Okay.
And over the years, it's evolved in many ways, And one of my favorite forms is this type here. This type here is Xeroxed and stapled together.
That's old school.
So this is very old school. This is how Dōjin actually really started, mm-hmm. where you could do it without the aid of a publishing company. And the content is totally different. Like this Valkyrie you see on the front cover is a totally new design that does not appear in the anime. That's just a fan made. And in here, it's almost all tech, text, and technical drawings. This is something that would be fairly rare in a doujin nowadays, because when you say doujin, people automatically think like schoolgirl porn things, or the latest anime K-on porn. But in reality, it started out as people, normal people, that just had a subject they like. And when you go to Comiket, you can see just how much of a huge difference in content from the internet to actual Comiket.
Right.
The stuff you see on the internet, if you look up Macross Dōjin, is almost all pornographic. Whereas if you go here, you'll find much more. You'll find ones about songs. You'll find a lot more mecha-oriented stuff. Unfortunately, I have some other mecha-oriented ones here that are also in the stapled and Xeroxed form. Because they're in this form, you rarely see them sold on consignment.
Right.
So the ones that look professional, that have all the glossy, slick printing, those are the things that major retailers like Torano Ana or Mandarake will resale for consignment, so they get much more circulation, so people are more likely to find them, and you'll see scans of them online. Whereas this one here is actually Volume 8. He covers a lot of Destroids and some of the lesser-known mecha. And in this one, for probably a good reason, it covers the VF4 and covers official and just conjectural variations. Like here is a VF4 combined with the Metal Siren. How often do you see that?
Oh no, that's the one from the game.
VF4 Siren.
Yeah, that's from the that's from which game is it? Is it Eternal Love Song?
Yeah, 2036 and Eternal Love Song. I think had that, but I don't think it was this.
It was similar to that, though. I mean, yeah. it mostly just looked like a VF1.
But it wasn't exactly this.
No, it wasn't this. But I know which one you're talking about, where it kind of has the VF2 SS head, but with dual cannon.
Yeah,
that one's got the same kind of head.
Yeah.
But no, this is more of an original mix of the two.
You can tell because in here, on this design here, VF4 Siren, the arms are the Kawamori arms that he put on the VF4 when it came out in Digital Mission VFX.
Now,
they're the same forearms. Well, not the same, but they're similar. So they wouldn't have followed down that thought process if that Batroid design hadn't already existed. You know what I mean?
So what else you got, Howard?
Also, another one in the same Xerox and stapled together. This one called the Mega Road.
Oh, yay!
Now, the thing I'd like to point out is...
I'm being sincere, damn you!
The thing I'd like to point out is just how crude and amateurish the art looks.
Yeah.
It still looks
better than Star Pro.
And that's what I really love about it is because it was made by an amateur fan that simply loves the show.
You know, I'm not even kidding. Mega Road is like one of the comics that I was going to draw. Seriously, I was going to do it. This is basically what everyone wants, right? A story about Lin and Mei and
Misa
Harasu.
They bring all this stuff out. The one comic kit I don't make it to because I'm in the wrong country.
So this is the stuff I think people should actually go to Comiket to find.
Right.
And also, the vast majority of the doujins that you see is the Frontier doujins.
And that is because?
That's because those are the ones that have the biggest fan following, so they have the biggest print runs, so they look professional, they have professional art, they look slick, so the more people want them.
Biggest boobs, too.
That, too. And another big reason to go to a Comiket is you find some of the lesser-known characters.
Okay.
Like this guy here.
Kakizaki and Shibo?
Yep.
No, that's an interesting crossover.
It's Civil War. Yep. As Mike would like to say, he puts the cock in Kakizaki.
Would you like to come in and copy?
So this is a crossover with Kakizaki with Civil from Macross 7.
Right.
That's another thing you don't see very often.
No, you don't.
No.
But I'm gonna.
Man, and we're taping all this, Renato.
Oh, and this one here?
Oh
that one's the best one.
I'll let Adrian review this one.
What's now this one? This is okay. This one's awesome because it's a very kind of interesting format. It's not the typical Dojin format. It's nice high gloss and a lot of Macross 2 content. And it's basically a collaboration between different Dojin artists doing Mecha Musume. So there's all the typical stuff you'd see. Like, you know, you got...
Oh, cool. Well, actually, I'm going to redefine cool.
You're going to redefine cool.
That's not five cool.
Look at that. Come on, look at that monster. Look at that. That's awesome.
That's a monster.
That is a monster.
This is so good on an audio.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the quality varies. Yeah, it's cute, but the quality is less, but it's really nice. And then this kind of looks like the old American style kind of stuff, like a Ben Dunn kind of thing. But that doesn't take away from it. Yeah, so. But then you get more dynamic. And then look at that. Destroids featuring Mac 2 Destroids. Where are you going to find that?
Nowhere.
Exactly. Only here.
Not even in the actual show. Unless you look
at that. VF2SS. Mechamusume.
There's a lot of Macross 2 stuff here.
Yeah. See? That's pretty good design.
Yeah.
And because this one's cool. It's not just Mechamusume. It's Bridge Bunny and Mecha Musume together. That's kind of whatever. And then the Malay one's pretty good. It's just really high quality stuff. They got Zero Ghosts. There's an Ishtar one here.
What is going on here?
Valkyries.
Oh, I see what he did there.
I didn't do any of this. The Minmay is pretty cool.
Mm.
You know, original SDF one. Minmay China dress. Where is it? Ishtar. This Ishtar one is freaking awesome.
Well, I'm glad this is a sound only podcast.
Yeah, right. This makes awesome.
It's not that kind of dojo.
Do you enjoy it? Yeah, but how do they know?
Well, because you're not getting all excited. No, but the quality varies. But I would have to say this is probably one. Oh. So thanks to Howard, I was able to get a copy.
Son of a bitch.
Alright, who's this by? This is called Cross Fight.
Macross Fight.
Macross Fight. But yeah, it's a handful of different artists, and it's an amazing collaboration piece.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is the one I like.
Yeah, and finally, there's one more thing that, well, there's lots of things, but one of the things that people don't really know about Comiket is how much of original arts and crafts they have.
Okay.
Like, you'll go in and you'll see completely unrelated to anime anything, just somebody just sewing a sweater or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or making custom jewelry. And one of the things I found was this hand towel embroidered with the Zentron symbol.
Yeah.
This is underneath?
Actually, hey, you have the proper equipment to read that.
Exactly.
You should.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll take a photograph of it. And I'll translate it for the next podcast.
And also another thing I found that I was just thrilled to find was a Minmay refrigerator magnet. However, the thing is, it's carved out of wood in the shape of a Russian Matryoshka doll. The dolls where they're nestled inside of each other.
Yeah, right.
And it's hand-painted.
Yeah.
So you guys are big into the limited edition, like one of a thousand things. This is one of one.
So.
They had one of each major DYRL character, and this is Minmay in her concert outfit. It was the only one of its kind.
Wow.
Now, the one
How much was that?
I think this was 300 yen.
Wow. Really? For the only one in existence on the planet?
Yep.
Pretty...
One thing that has to be said about Comiket is this stuff isn't just all in one area. It's scattered throughout hundreds of thousands of little
tables. Literally have to run from opening to closing to get to each table. You cannot stop and chat with the creators. You really have to rush. Or you have to look at the guide beforehand, figure out exactly what you want, run to each spot only if you want to get what you want. It's really unfortunate. It's too big now.
Yeah. So, because I remember that day, you looked exhausted.
Oh, that was the last one, right?
Yeah, the last one. He didn't even want to stay, go eat or nothing. He wanted just to get back and sleep.
Yeah, I was dead after that.
No.
Because you can't just go, there is a Macross section, but the thing about Comic-Con is they don't, every circle is classified according to whatever their current doujin is. So if they'd made Macross in the past, but have a Kaon doujin now, they'll be stuck in the Kaon section.
Right.
So in order to actually find some of these, you have to go to other unrelated non-Macross sections and dig through their old bins. And sometimes you find gold. Yeah. Like last time around, I found a Mospita doujin that was originally published in 1995 being sold by the original circle because it was selling unsold because nobody came there looking for Mospita stuff.
But Mospita's back. That's what I'm hearing. Because, you know, that doujin, I think that's like, if they're bringing that out of Mothball, I mean, things are going to go big. They're going to go big. What is it? What's that term they use in the Robotech world? Gangbusters?
Yes.
Yeah. Mospita's going to go gangbusters. Yeah.
Galvion is back.
Galvion is
back. Galvion is back, though. Blu-ray is coming out.
Well, let me shift the mic over here because, Richard, I believe you had a couple of things you wanted to bring up while we're going over recent Macross stuff.
Yeah.
Most in the publication side of things. Again, perfect topic material for an audio medium.
Well, again, the Macross Chronicle the revised Macross Chronicle is being released, which I've been getting primarily because my old Macross Chronicle is still back in the States. The series finished, I think, about 2 weeks before I moved to Tokyo. Mm. And so, yeah, I haven't seen it since then.
Right.
So we're up to issue 8 now. Issue 9 is coming out on Tuesday. And I gotta say that if anyone got the original set,
right,
I'm not sure there's really enough in the new one to really justify buying it.
Now, it is supposed to be, an extra 30 issues altogether?
An extra 30 issues, most of which looks like it's going to be episode sheets, because they didn't have those before.
Right.
And heroine gallery sheets.
Heroine gallery sheets, and and some new Tengen artwork for...
That alone is worth buying it.
Yeah.
That is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
That's why I'm getting only a select few of them. I had the original run, and I didn't want to rebuy it again just for the extra stuff. But I will buy it for some of the Tengen pieces that I like. So I did buy the one with the new Fire Valkyrie drawing, and I'm going to get the one that's coming out next week, which I think is the VF19 P, right?
Yeah. P, so. Yeah. I don't know. I liked Macross Chronicle, but I kind of didn't like the way it was organized, and I still kind of don't. But
As in what sense?
Well, I'm also getting Gundam Perfect File, and I think the way that they put that together is a little bit better, where each series has its own timeline, as opposed to like Macross Chronicle, where they do the timeline for like they combine everything.
Right.
So the timeline sheet right now, with the last issue, it just switched from Zero to Macross TV. But, I don't like with like all the Do You Remember Love stuff being put at the end. It's always going to be problematic, I think, trying to, like, make a complete chronology of Macross because it just doesn't fit together
and
all that
all
well.
With all these series, the problem is that they always end right around the time they announce a new installment.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I know that, The Gundam fact file, the previous Gundam one, was meant to run 100 issues.
And it went 150.
It went 100. They expanded it because so much stuff had come out in the meantime. So that might happen here as well. 80 issues is a while, and it's weekly, so it'll be going until I think next July, at least.
Well, yeah, I've subscribed, so every 2 issues they send it out, and I like that because I don't have to worry about it, it just comes. But, yeah, a lot of it is just, yeah, the same. There's a few touch-ups.
Yeah.
I don't really need the, they do the episode sheets for every reissue. They did it for Evangelion, they did it for Yamato, but it's Macross. And to quote, well, to steal something that Hideki Anno did recently. Hideaki, thank you. Arnold said recently, when I saw him talking with, I saw a talk show with him and Izubuchi, the director for Yamato 2199. And after Arnold criticized a whole bunch of stuff about Yamato 2199, when asked if he'd been watching it, he says he sees everyone at cinema. Hmm. Everyone. And he's like, he was asked why. This, you've just said this isn't the Yamato you'd want. He's like, because it's Yamato. And they said, well, but you just criticize this. He's like, no, it's Yamato. That's the important part. So for me, it's the same with Macross. It's like, this may be the same thing, but it's Macross.
Right.
Hence FB7 event viewing.
Yeah. So apart from the Chronicle, is there anything else you want to bring up, Richard?
Yeah, the one thing that I wanted to talk about last time, but we didn't
get
to.
We ran out of karaoke room time.
Yeah. Was that there was the weird announcement last fall that Bandai would be making a transformable VF1 kit and that Hasegawa was going to be doing a VF25. Which I don't know what kind of deal they signed to do this, but it kind of came out of nowhere. I was really excited about the VF1 just because Hasegawa never made a Gerwalk. And you know, it's been 13 years now that they've had the license. And it's weird because if you get the fighter kit, it looks like it's designed to accommodate a Gerwalk, but they never made one. I think like at Wonderfest and stuff, you can get like conversion kits.
Right.
So that if you get like the fighter and the Batroid and the conversion kit, you can make one. But then I kind of realized, you know, I was looking forward to the Bandai one just because it's like, hey, I can make it into a Gerwalk. Although I realized later that if you pose it next to a Hasegawa fighter, it's not going to look like the same thing because the Hasegawa ones aren't really anime accurate. They make them look like real fighter planes. The VF-25 we don't really know anything about, but Bandai has been updating their website showing pics of the
anniversary design
of the VF-1. Well, Hasegawa was doing a 30th anniversary VF-1 designed by Tenshin, but I gotta say, I don't like it.
It's like a unicorn vomited.
we'll get back to that.
Yeah, it's striped. It's got all of the logos on it. It's the 25th anniversary ones. I mean, they did the VF1 and the YF19 for the 25th anniversary colors, and those were really black. Nice. It was like metallic blue with gold trim.
Not the anatomy.
Yeah, it was very classy. This one is not.
So,
well, why don't you talk about that book there?
Okay, so yeah, I also got the, I have right here.
As you can all see,
I have that VF modeling manual.
Which is actually holding a doujin which has Kakizaki and Bobby on the way.
So this is part of the Master File series, and I was initially not going to get it until I read a review on Macross World.
There was an article up.
Yeah. And it's pretty stunning stuff. It's like the Master File books, it's usually like some of them are Hasegawa kits, some of them are just CG models. This one, it's all Hasegawa kits. Right. And they look very real.
It looks like they're full-size fighters.
Yeah. I mean, like, here you've got, like, the sun reflecting off the wings and stuff like that. But, yeah, it's nice. Some of these kits are great, and someone did a completely scratch-built VF-3000 Crusader, which is just stunning. They've also got a big section on how to put together a Hasegawa fighter properly, which made me realize I have not the time, talent, or patience to do it properly. But it's it's pretty intense.
And how much was that for the
this
for
one listeners? Was 2,500 yen.
Yeah, good. All right.
So about $25, more or less.
Okay. Moving on then, Wonderfest. We've talked about Comic-Con. Adrian, let's talk Wonderfest.
Yeah! Woohoo! Yeah! Automata! Hachimaru de Saturday night. So she would die. This time that beat to a kanjir guy. Yeah, yeah. Koko wa sora tomu paradise. Mutsure kaketeru energy. The hurry up. Dori mo de soze. No more wishing time. Maruji mena yoni.
Should we talk about the stage show first?
Yeah, let's get that out of the way, because that has to do with Macross 30.
So there was a stage show, which... We got there and, you know, after just checking the place out, there are a few people in the cosplay area we knew, so we talked to them. And the stage area was going all day. And there was constantly stuff just playing, like idol-looking groups, anime tie and stuff. So we went in there when the previous act, which was some sugary-covered idol pop group, which I had no idea what it was, but had a bunch of fans. We went... and waited at the back while that was finishing up. And as people trickled out, we went against the flow and got quite close to the front because we're going to have Fukuyama come on stage. And people probably seen this because they did stream it.
I watched it.
You watched it?
Yeah.
Fukuyama,
I don't remember seeing you.
And Chinsuga Haruka was there, who is the main singer for the opening and ending of Macross 30. And so Fukuyama,
and she's actually singing Chisuga Haruka. Da, 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 da,
da, da. How long did it take you to think that one up?
I just thought it. Just...
Great. Moving on. So Fukuyama came out, and unfortunately, he basically was doing karaoke. You know, he had a microphone.
Yeah, they all. Yeah.
You know, and he just did a couple of songs, and Haruka came out, and you know what? She did Planet Cradle, the opening. And having gotten the single, Richard, have you got the single?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm getting to the point where I kind of prefer Wandering over Planet Cradle.
Yeah, I think Planet Cradle definitely was, like, the one that grabbed me.
But after multiple listens, yeah, I just feel like it's more even for her performance.
I agree.
But I was hoping she'd do that live, but she didn't. She did Planet Cradle, and it was all right. It took her a while to warm up, get into it. I actually think she had a better performance of it when she did it last year at the Tokyo Game Show to announce with the announcement of the game. But you know, it was nice seeing her do it live, and they showed some footage of the game in the background of the song, which was an extended version of the opening, pretty much the opening with some more footage in it, and a lot of things were kind of, I wouldn't say spoiled, but you know, it was like aha, there were a few of those moments. But it was good to watch. It was pretty short overall. They talked about some of the upcoming new figures, like that big Cheryl. Is that Max Factory?
Yes, the Cheryl will be Max Factory, and that's the thing. This wasn't like this show, and the live show wasn't done at the Wonderfest stage. This was at Good Smile Company's own stage.
Yeah.
And this goes back to what Richard was talking about, is the thing about how did Hasegawa manage to get the Messiah. Well, the rumor around the hobby world is that Bandai had a 5-year exclusive deal on the Frontier license. And we just entered the 30th anniversary mid last year. So the big show for pro models is the Shizuoka Hobby Show. Hasegawa needed to make their announcement at their biggest show. So they were the first to come out of the gate to say that they're going to do Frontier stuff. So they introduced that kit. They announced that they're going to do the Messiah. And the big show for this year is Wonderfest concerning figures and other types of goods. So Good Smile, which is also working with Max Factory, was showing Macross Frontier Nendoroids, Petite Nendoroids, and a very elaborate Black Bunny Cheryl figure.
Very elaborate.
Yeah, and they're saying it's going to be up to about Nemon, maybe higher. So it may actually, I don't know if it'll be a figure, if it'll be actual cold cast a statue, because there's a lot of detail.
So that's
going
to be like over 200 US.
Definitely.
Dollars.
Probably. I mean, they don't even have a price point yet.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. There was a rumor that that was going on, that Bandai had this license up until 5 years.
Right.
Aside from any other companies that were doing stuff that Bandai wasn't interested in selling, like cosplay uniforms, like from COSPA. And Movic was also one of the first companies approached to support Frontier in the beginning.
Right.
So Movic was allowed to make keychains and, well, phone straps, keychains, and anything that, you know, Cheryl earrings. But if it was anything transformable or Valkyrie or figure-wise, Bandai had full control.
Right.
Now it seems that we're going in the 30th. Other companies are going to start releasing product. So, of course, you're thinking, hey, we've got Max Factor releasing this. We got some Good Smile Nendoroids coming out. What's going to go over on Yamato? Are we going to get an actual 160 Messiah transformable? Like, what's Yamato going to do? So, you know, we look on the Wonderfest guide. Where's the Yamato booth? It says Yamato booth is in the main hall. Such and such booth number. We go there. Well, I recognize the booth, but who's this company, Arcadia? And it's manned by all the same people from Yamato. So I'm like, oh, interesting, whatever. I'll go check out all, because usually every Wonderfest, because they have it in the summer and the winter, Yamato has their big spread of stuff they've already released and stuff that they're kind of working on and stuff that's coming out soon. What did we see when we went to that booth?
From a distance, all I could make out was, hey, that prototype guitar is still there.
Yeah. The original prototype guitar that is also a collaboration project, because they're not making it.
Right.
They're just working with a guitar company that's making it.
Right.
So there's one license, there's one existing product that has transferred over from Yamato to Arcadia.
Right.
So that went over. Now Arcadia is handling that. There was only 3 other product announcements, but no physical product shown.
That's true. A lot of design concepts, yeah. Mock-ups, but no, apart from the guitar, very little actual physical product.
So one announcement was a collaboration with Arcadia, I want to say Yamato, Arcadia and Hasegawa, which is the 30th anniversary of VF1, with Tengen paint scheme. Now, there's, you know, I think I'd fall along the same line side with Richard, and kind of, it's a little odd. It's a little
colorful
and a little busy. But it also kind of looks like the old anniversary Yamato design that was shown at Tokyo Anime Fair years back that I took pictures of, put them on Macross World, and everyone's like, this is the anniversary. It was blue, red, and black. And it was for the 19 and the VF1. So if you go back in the Macross World, you'll see it. It's like red, blue, black, very strange. It said like 25th anniversary, had the Macross Zero logos on it. So that really got bad feedback. Then Hasegawa came up with the 20th anniversary scheme. Very classy, dark, navy, like a navy metallic blue with the gold pinstripe, 20th anniversary. And Yamato approached them to see if they could release their toys with the same design scheme, but in black. So that's how that happened. It wasn't originally, it was originally Hasegawa's design, and then a collaboration between Hasegawa and Yamato back then. Now it's Arcadia Hasegawa. And then the other product was a Hikaru
doll.
No, I would not call it a doll. It's got to be...
It's made of bowls.
No. Trust me, I looked very closely. It's not a ball-jointed figure. It is an engineered doll with not ball joints.
But it's a doll.
No, it's a figure. It's a very large figure. Probably like in like a kind of like a Hot Toys kind of feel, maybe. Like... But they didn't show the doll body. They just showed the line art of the pilot suit.
Right.
And they showed three different views of the actual head sculpt, which was not finished.
Right.
Now, you seem to think this head sculpt looked great.
Can I qualify that?
Go ahead.
Given how difficult it is to put original Macross figures into a figure to capture Mickey Mouse's design and the hair...
They did it in the CM's Corporation figures.
Yeah, but they're quite small from memory, right? Like, relatively.
Yeah, but they still got the proportions, right?
Right, but as in, on a large, like, a decent-sized figure of Hikaru, it's like, it's just something that's rare. The hair looked good, the face looked good. I didn't have a problem with it.
Okay, this is coming from somebody that thinks a lot of the prize figures look good. To somebody who actually deals with figures...
We make prize figures,
I had problems with it, and the fact that it wasn't finished, so... But you were kind of going out saying, it looked very promising. It's not finished. It's nowhere near finished.
And we should say here also that there were strictly no photos allowed.
Yeah. So no photos. We couldn't get photos for the figure. And they also had a pamphlet for a cockpit to go with the figure. So we're talking like a Barbie Dreamhouse type of thing, even though it's not a doll. It's not a doll.
I've never heard it described like that.
So it's pink.
I don't know. It was grayscale, the picture. So basically, it's something you can put on your desk in the corner and put the Hikaru in.
Take
there
up more than the corner of your desk.
Yeah, it looked like it'd be pretty big. Yeah.
So,
and that was it.
Yeah,
there was no other Valks. Nothing about the sound boosters that were supposed to come out. Nothing.
The sound boosters.
The big cannon one that they used to show.
Speaker Pod Gamma.
Yeah, nothing. It was all gone.
Lancer 2.
So the next thing you could do is, you know, pull somebody aside and say, hey.
Hello, hello.
What's going on? So we pulled aside one of the guys we talked to a lot from who was formerly from Yamato, but now is obviously at Arcadia. And he was just saying, oh, yeah, new company. Yeah, new company. You know, we're still gonna do Macross. Didn't say what kind of Macross products. Of course, I said Valkyries and stuff. Oh, we'll do Macross. We're gonna do. Still, it's coming. Just wait. We got a lot of stuff coming down the pike. Okay, great. You're still gonna be doing your other dolls and the figures.
Yeah,
the PVC
because they had
figures.
The Panty and Stocking, the Devil Sisters.
Yeah. They had some Sonico figures up there.
Yeah, they did.
So they had product to show, but the Macross stuff was not so much. And so what happened with Yamato? Oh, Yamato's still there. He said, according to him, Yamato is a company that will still exist, may only be on paper, mind you, that that company will still be handling products that they're actually importing from other countries to sell in Japan. But everything else is now under this new company, Arcadia. So this is like overnight because they actually said that same weekend of WonderFest they were moving offices,
right?
Which we verified today. The Yamato office is empty. It's gone.
Yeah. There's cables on the ground.
Yeah, they left a lot of power strips and a lot of dust mites and dust balls, but it's gone.
But the wall of VF1 is gone.
Yes,
that was an impressive thing. They had every single VF1.
Glad I got pictures of that.
Yeah. So, with that, Yamato is technically no more, but there is no official announcement. Don't expect an official announcement. I don't know why some people are trying to go find an official announcement. It's just over.
Or panic buying. Or,
I don't know. Well, let's put it this way. When a store closes,
when a store closes.
Yeah.
Usually, at the entrance here in Japan, they would put up at least a piece of paper saying, thank you very much for your continued patronage all these years. But after however many years, we have closed. Hope to see you again at some point.
But this isn't a shop where customers would normally come. Yeah.
I know, I know, but they would still put that on the website for a little
on
while
the website,
before
yeah.
they would. Yeah.
Now, yeah, I mean, there's different ways when you
said,
it could be handled.
I'm not saying that they should put it on the door, yeah. but when you said people shouldn't expect an announcement, I think they should expect something.
Well, they can't. Don't expect an English announcement. Let's put it that way.
And the last, like we spoke the other day, the last newsletter was not a goodbye newsletter. It was just, see you next time. Bye. Yeah.
Which is, to be honest, all the more reason why I think panic's unfounded.
Because, again, it's the same staff. So it's essentially the same company. And they're saying there's going to be changes. So we don't know what's going to happen.
Right,
it's all hearsay. But they're still around. It's not like the company's gone and everyone's looking for work. They're still manned by
Although,
the same
to
crew.
Be fair, though,
yeah.
I don't really understand the people panicking because we've had everything. You know, what else do people want? We've had every...
F2SS...
Like I said, we've had everything. So,
asshole.
Is that what the S is? The F2S.
Well, I wouldn't say people really panicked because, I mean, yes, people went out and bought stuff off Hobby Link Japan and sold out in 2 days.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys.
You know, you guys really should have been doing that before this happened. Okay?
Maybe it wouldn't
you
have
know, perfect example, there was this thing called the Beagle Ride Armor. Some of you guys were saying, like, hey, I'm going to wait for the second issue when they fixed all the kinks and everything. And they didn't get that far. And the same thing happened. Beagle just closed. They didn't make an announcement. Website went dead. And a lot of their stuff, the prototypes, went up on Yahoo Auctions. So I'm not saying go on a Yahoo Auctions, akim, but...
but we are saying it's your fault.
I'm just saying that these smaller companies that aren't like Bandai Namco or Takara Tomy, don't expect these big announcements.
They ain't getting government payouts or anything.
It's not like Yamato Toys is a very small company. Very small.
Hey, can you imagine the day that Bandai goes under?
The way things are going with Good Smile?
Yeah.
I expect a lot of changes in the toy industry in the next 5 years because Good Smile is getting so big.
Yeah.
They're spending a lot of money. They're working with a lot of smaller companies probably to eventually absorb those companies. They're doing distribution for companies, a lot of smaller products, and they are just growing.
Good Smile Valkyries, here we come.
I don't think they'll go in the transformable realm, but anything's possible because
I think Yamato
has
set the bar
money.
So high that anyone that isn't Arcadia, as in those guys that have worked there,
but someday, I mean, they may end up falling under the umbrella of the Good Smile Company.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying from an observing point and knowing this industry, they are growing at an alarming rate. So anything could happen. The thing is, eventually, I'm waiting to see their bubble burst. And I want to see what happens with Good Smile at some point. Because they're spending too much money. They don't need an office next to the Sky Tree. That is a waste of money, in my opinion. But they can afford it. That's how good their business is going. Back to Arcadia. What is coming down the pike? I don't know. Nobody knows. Everyone's in the dark, but they do have the Macross license, so it can't be any worse. And I agree with Renato. We mostly got everything we need. Don't need a 5,000. Don't need a 3,000. In my opinion.
How did the 5,000 and 3,000 rank on the Facebook popularity poll?
I don't think they were in
there. They weren't listed.
Right. Yeah.
Not that it matters, because it was thrown by someone.
What are you talking about?
The F2SS. More popular than Diamond Force, for God's sake.
Of course, everyone loves the F2SS.
Two people love the PF2SS.
By the way, I looked at those numbers. There was a mistake in the poll, in the way that the poll was set up, because the number of votes was the same for the VF-17 and the VF-2SS.
Yeah.
But one was placed higher above the other.
Yeah,
it shouldn't. It should be joint.
No, there's a reason for that. The one that got the most recent vote before closing of the poll.
That's stupid.
It's in their rules.
Okay. This, by the way, what we're talking about is the is on Facebook, D'Agostini, the publisher.
Was on Facebook.
Yeah.
For the Macross Chronicle. They had a contest for people to vote for their favorite Valkyrie. I voted for Max's VF-1S. I didn't know at first that you could vote every day. I thought it was like a one person, one vote thing, but no, you could vote multiple times, just
you could, once a day.
Once a day.
Yeah.
Would you? I didn't know that.
Yes.
Shut up.
So
knowing is half the battle if you want to get in the top 10.
Yeah, yeah. So I hung out with Save one time and he was saying, "Yeah, you know, I've been voting for the VF2SS and it's climbing up and it's beating the VF17." I was like, "Huh. Well, how's Max's VF1S doing?" And he's like, "I think VF2SS is getting a little bit bigger." And so I was like, crap, okay. So I started voting every single day, and I was actually beating the VF2SS here until Gwyn realized that since he had voted for Fokker's VF1S, and that was easily winning, he didn't have to vote for it every day. Well, and so he started voting for the VF2SS as well.
The thing is, Fokker wasn't always in the lead. There was one point there where the top three was like the 25, the 29, and the 19. There was no original Macross vouch, and I was like, this has got to change. And I was voting Fokker every day. And everyone apparently copied me. Because suddenly,
not the 19, it was like there were 25. Yeah, yeah, there were variations of 25.
Oh, it was 25, yeah. 25 Tornado on the 29.
Yeah.
And
well,
so
altos. As long as it's altos.
Everyone else seemed to get the same idea, and suddenly Fokker was ahead with like 150 votes. So I'm like, well, there's no point in beating a dead horse, so let's try the 2SS, why not? But we didn't push it over the line. No. The mysterious benefactor, lovely lady who likes to cosplay as Min Mei, Richard, pushed that over the line.
How much did you bribe her?
Anyways, getting back on topic, is there any final thoughts on Yamato before we move on? Because...
Yeah.
Well, thanks for all the wonderful memories.
Yes,
they made that. I can't see anyone making any better transformable Valkyrie toys ever.
Richard,
I've never gotten one. I feel kind of bad about that now.
Well, I was actually going to bring my VF-19 today, but I decided not to. I'll bring it next time, maybe.
Well, let's bring this back around briefly before taking a break, guys. So to jump back to Wonderfest, the one thing they did announce at the end of the little musical that we got
was a game.
No. Was an announcement of a new concert.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Which we're all going to, I guess.
Which
we all apparently
have tickets to.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Which I'll get to in a moment. But, yeah, Macross Crossover Live 30. It's a follow-up from the last crossover, which was in 2009. Now, listening to a couple of more mainstream... Oh, that's not the right way to put it. A couple of other larger, more well-known anime podcasts. I'm not looking behind me at anyone. they're just saying that the 30th anniversary was no good if you're outside of Japan. Mm. And you know, Japan gets these concerts with all the Macross singers all the time. They're really common. It's like, no, it's just that that's what you
someone
you just,
said that? Really?
Yeah, oh, someone God, said that.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. What was the... What? They went down basically everything we've ever talked about, and
said,
they just basically the way they got they basically just brushed it off was we don't live in Japan, so it doesn't count.
Yeah,
don't live in Japan,
like,
doesn't count.
It's like music culture, doesn't count because no Japan. It's like, you know, concert, they get those all the time. Now let's put that in context. We got the last crossover in 2009. And the one before that, or the closest thing to it, was when you went to Asian, when Megumi came out. But that was Mari and Firebomber, was it not?
Which one's this?
The one where they announced Megumi was going to be doing Ranka.
Oh, she came out on stage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was just Firebomber and Mari, so it wasn't really a full-on crossover. The last full-on crossover I know of was the 15th anniversary.
Right.
So much for having this happen all the time.
Right, yeah.
You have small ones. You have cheer gigs. You have Fukuyama gigs. But to have everyone together...
All of the Macross singers, or pretty much all of them, are still performing. So you can see them. I mean, even if...
They don't do Macross songs?
Yeah, or even if, for whatever reason, someone wants to see, like, for example, Hiroko Kasahara.
For whatever reason. Yeah, dude, no, that's harsh.
You know, she does play. You can go see Ishtar.
You can even see Mikao Kudoi.
Yeah.
She's a jazz singer.
I mean, yeah, but the thing is, it's actually pretty rare. This is probably
played Amelia, but
fourth or fifth time in history it's happened. It's just that because of the frontier boom, which has made Macross such a big thing compared to what it was even back in its heyday, I would argue.
Yeah, you wouldn't even see those Macross themed concerts. You would see, Richard just described, you would see those artists
do
their own stuff.
Even the Yoko Kanno concert in 2009, the Supermenchal Tanabata, that was almost, in a way, kind of a Macross crossover event with Plus and Frontier.
Yeah, in a
well,
way.
Well, that's just because of...
But,
right.
But, this is maybe the fourth or fifth time it's ever happened, so it's a much bigger deal than some people think, and...
All of
it's
this
just
stuff
we've gotten,
has been big deals,
yeah,
I think.
Well, it's just we got two really close to each other, 2009, 2013, yeah. Right. And this time, unlike last time, where it was over a two-day period with a bit of a difference in the set list, in the guests, this time it's all in one event, one day, we're guaranteed we're going to get Mari Jima, we have Firebomber, so... Kiyama and Chie. We have Main and Megumi. We're going to have Kasahara. So we're going to have...
Yay. Really?
Yeah.
She's confirmed for it?
Ishtar's on the poster.
Oh, okay.
We're going to have Arai. So we got Plus in the bag. As I said, you know, Mari's coming all the way from the US for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's...
Yeah.
And we are going to have... we are going to have Chisuga from Macross 30. They haven't announced her, but it's pretty obvious.
Right.
She'll be there. So this is going to be the best, kind of biggest single Macross gig ever, because even the one in 2009 was split over 2 days.
Right.
This is how it should be. You get everyone in one event. And the question is, will Mari do non-Macross songs again?
Probably.
Well, I think that the other question is probably more pertinent to everyone else. The location, the hall for it is Makuhari Messe, right?
Which is not good.
Exactly. So why did they choose that again?
I don't know. The sound, the acoustics are not good.
Oh, okay.
It's not a place for concerts.
It's like being at the Staples Center and watching a concert.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's more like an arena for sports.
You get a lot of noise and not that much audio clarity. But having said that, to have everyone there.
Well, and I think it's nice that it's on one day because I wasn't in Japan for the first crossover live. But
me neither.
It seemed really.
I actually went to the UK for a little bit somewhere. I don't know where.
But it always struck me as a little unfair because Hiroko Kasahara was the secret guest one night, and then Akino Arai was the secret guest the other night, and.
And well, Adrian, which one did you end up seeing?
I went the second day and I missed the Macross 2 night.
So yeah, at least this way we will get to see the Macross 2 portion of the program, which will probably only be Love You and nothing else.
Well, what else is good on that soundtrack?
I actually rather like the soundtrack.
Yeah, but I mean...
Riding in Your Valkyrie.
So
Banana Moon of Love.
To surmise, I think, Adrian, you could say...
All the songs
the Macross 7
took a piss of.
It'll be magical.
It'll be magical. Hold on. Got one thing to say. Back to the Yamato thing.
Okay.
VF2SS, please. Arcadia.
Arcadia, VF2SS, please. No. All I want to say is, Yamato, thank you for all these years of your dedicated service. Your bricks that you've given us that look like fighter planes in the beginning.
You think of Takara Tomy, man.
No, I'm talking about the first run, stuff. That first 19.
VF19, that
was. Yeah, I mean, it was. Even back then, I didn't want to buy it. And. Yeah, your first, fully transformable gold. Have to detach the legs. Nope, didn't buy that either. with those 172 scales. I didn't get those. 148s were great. I didn't like the shoulders, but they're fine.
What's wrong with the shoulders?
I didn't like it. Wasn't line art perfect? Yeah, I said it. It wasn't line art perfect. you guys did great stuff. Garland hit a couple broken parts here and there.
I mean, bubblegum Christ stuff.
No, I never broke. Oh,
yeah. We got some bubblegum crisis stuff. Yep. A little bit too small and fiddly, but I got something. I finally got my Moto Slave. I mean, you just look at all the products they've made. They even made, you know what they made?
What?
They made Blind Box original giant robo figures. I'm not talking the anime version. I'm talking about the live action. Yeah, story image art. They did Blind Boxes, so I had like the whole set. Now that is something I really appreciated. So down the line, you guys had a lot of hits and a lot of misses. Those neural pins got you in the end. But I really have to say you've done us a service.
Well, we still got to finish our SDF-1s. If there's any missing pieces, we're screwed.
Yeah, because we're missing screws.
We can just go to the office. Oh, wait.
That was the plan.
That's what we did.
We'll just break in and get the screws off the floor. But with that, you weren't my first, you weren't my last, but up until now, you were the best.
You were my everything.
Farewell, Yamato.